this is construction.
And you did house construction.
Yeah, I did remodeling and repairs and just 3 years ago I was offered property that I could build my own house on. That's always been my dream, but I met a different mother, so that didn't agree with me doing the work at all, so I never furthered that, so. But I couldn't be seen by these men. Going in the gay bar, number one. And then going to a woman's room. You know why I came here? Why are you? They might have said I was a gay boy, or they might have said I was weird, or they might have said, I know you're a girl, and I couldn't handle it.
Any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, you had to get paid by somebody. So did you change your name?
Oh yeah, I changed my name. It was a funny way I changed my name. Barbara and I was laying up in a hotel, laying on the bed in a hotel, and we discussed me becoming a male so it would be easier. And they couldn't trace her because she was on Broken Fool. Too easy. Because they would be looking for two girls. So if one of us was male, which would be me, we discussed my name. We wouldn't change my first name, Bobby, because it's always been Bobby from the time I was a little girl. It was always my nickname. But we would change my last name. So we started fooling around. She said, you bitch, and I said, that's it, let's call me bitch. You can't go do that. So we went through bitch and bitch and bitch. So we ended up with the last name.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my name. And then I went. And I had one of us in Rochester. I knew a friend that had a friend that worked at the cathedral here that got me a baptismal certificate. So I used that to get my license, to get my job, to get my social security, you know, and everything.
That's amazing. You did all of this in Rochester before you came to Buffalo. So you had male ID by the time you came to Buffalo.
Yeah. I was going to work in Rochester, but I had a little problem there. I met my stepfather after he came out of there. And after he had raped my sister, his own daughter. And there's a bar that, I think it still exists to this day in Rochester. It sits on the railroad tracks down there. Just a little distance from, it's a big bar. It's sitting on the railroad tracks. I walked this man up the railroad tracks and half beat him to death. And left him there. I don't know if he's dead to this day. But please look from here. The man was big, but so was I, a little bigger and a little more hatred in it. And much stronger. I remember him hitting me once on the railroad tracks. And I couldn't feel a thing because I hated him so much. I couldn't get a feel of him. In fact, he broke his jaw on him. But I didn't feel anything. I beat him with a railroad tie. No, it was a piece of a railroad tie. I picked it up. And it was broke down to a point. I picked up the point and I kept swinging it. I don't know where I got the strength. The man went down and I kept beating him. If it wasn't for my louder than Barbara, getting me out of there, I would have been busted again and went to jail. Got me here, the police come looking for me. I swore for years he was dead, and I was also hiding out from the police for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then recently I had a drunken driving charge against me and they took my fingerprints. And I've been to jail before, but they never took fingerprints the last time I went to jail. And usually I was thrown in the bullpen with the men. But this time I was taken, my fingerprints were taken, they took me out of cell and put me in a woman's cell. And they found this out, but my lawyer never found out anything about my stepfather. So maybe he's not dead. Judy pointed that out, that he may not be dead, but I might have really
just hurt him
real, real bad. But at the time I wouldn't care if I killed him. I was aiming to kill him. You know, I wasn't angry as what he did. The anger from what he did to me was almost subsided, but the anger from what he did to my mother and my sister, he crippled my sister. My sister has a leg that turns all the way inside it. He raped her from there. When he raped her, he hurt her from there. The man was 6'4" and huge, German. He had shoulders like this. And my sister, Tisa, was only, at that time, she was 5 years younger than me. She was only 13, maybe 14. He just got out of jail for it, you know. The bars were more oriented, though, friendly oriented. I was a teacher, maybe 4 or 5 minutes. The gate.
When it was where? Because the tiki moved.
Right behind the city hall.
The one on Delbert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where then? Then it was, then he had Gate Society up on Main Street by Utica. That you went way up the stairs.
There oh, that's the Gate
hall.
Center.
There was Gate Center. Yes, I joined there. Mm-hmm. And that was broken up with Barbara, and Dave had me out a few nights, and she asked me to come to the tiki. And I had a gray silk suit on. I was wearing out of gray. I had a gray silk suit. And a flask of scotch in the back pocket, my back pocket.
Right, well, they didn't serve liquor legally.
No. I had a flask of scotch in my back pocket. And I bought some beer for Dave. And, whatever. She would be still with me at that time.
You spent so much time living as a man, and after a while, going into gay bars, did it feel different from the beginning? I mean, as you got more and more into being, you know, living as a man, did it feel stranger to go into gay bars, or was it always comfortable?
It was never really comfortable, only for the reason I got along with people very well.
Mm-hmm.
But the only reason was is that I would be found out. And I would lose, by the time I was 25 or 26 years old, I would lose a substantial living.
Yeah.
A darn good living. At that time, I owned 2 houses of my own and was going to buy more as soon as I possibly could. I had 2 houses, 2 cars. Barbara had a car, I had a car. And they were fairly, hers was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
She had a car almost every 2 years. She had a brand new car. I took her car because I used it always. I always used my car for work.
I remember having at least seen you at the Wonder Bar once. I don't know if we actually were introduced, but I saw you at the Wonder Bar. And I just assumed that most of the people that came in there were gay. Unless it was so obvious that they were male, like that they had beards, or, you know, that they were gay women. And you were pointed out to me as a woman who was living as a man. It never seemed particularly weird to me. I just wondered how difficult that was.
It was in some ways. In some ways it was very relaxing because I never had the finger point at me. I'm very bad at that. I would have to fight every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger and I was a butch, and I showed that I was a butch, somebody called me queer before they got the word out of their mouth. I had something in my hands upside their head. I mean, I would really hit them. Because I know when they started using that language at that time, and that age, that if they started calling you queer, their next thing was going to be they were going to pound you a little. So I make sure I pound them before they pound me. And it's a lot different now. If you say I'm gay to somebody, they say, oh, that's all right.
Well, some people do. Some people still don't.
And some people say, it's all right, and then avoid you.
Right.
Oh, I don't care how gay you are. You know, as long as you don't bring it in my house. A lot of people feel that way today.
Yeah.
But then they didn't feel that way. It was like walking in a gauntlet, I repeat. If you were pushed and walked down the street, you knew that before you got to the end of where you were going, you were going to have some kind of consequence.
But you said you felt that gay life then was probably better, closer.
Because, well, I say to myself, to bring the gay people together now, they need a reason to be together. They need to be harassed again to be that close to them.
I see.
That's what I say, because I am not very well educated and I don't know how to put it any other way. They need a cause.
I know what you mean.
They, at that time, there were people waylaying in outside of the gay bars to beat somebody's head or try to rape them or something. Now, they're more accepted, so you don't have the hassles. You don't have the big, bad person coming up to you and say, oh, you're queer? Oh, you know, I'm taking off on you. And at that time, you walked together, you were together. Some people can't understand why I say we were closer. We were closer like a pack of dogs would be closer. To hunt. To survive. That's the reason we were closer. I find that the newer groups aren't as supportive. They're not a support group anymore. In any way, they don't support long-time queers. But then, if you had an affair back then, and somebody thought they could mess it up, they would drop. Unless you were in a clique with, and you're part of your clique. But people won't say, gee, you go with this one, I don't want to be bothered. I haven't seen that lately. And it really, when I first came back to go into the gay bars, just lately, I got really upset. Things that the women have style this off right after the gay man.
How do you mean?
They're more sexually oriented. They're not monogamously oriented as much.
Mm-hmm.
You're monogamous because of one reason, because you want to be there, or you and your person comes to an understanding. If you want to have an affair once in a while, and that's the understanding you have, that's what you do, but you still are monogamous to your lover. I mean, you still stay with your lover.
Mm-hmm. You mean that's the way it is now?
No.
Oh, I see.
I'm not allowed to do anything when you do. She does it. If she does it, I do it. And she cannot see me. She had fears before me that she could do anything she wanted to, but they couldn't do what they wanted to. I'm the type, if it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
So in the past, relationships that lasted a long time sometimes did have understandings? Were they deployed
with other
people? I'm sure they
did. There was gay people that were, unlike me, they didn't hide in the closet. They had a very rough life. At that time, they went through some things that they hated to go through. I had a personal friend that was a very good butcher man. And her lover was crossing, and she hated it every time she did, but that was the only way they were living. And it was tearing this girl apart all the time. But she was out there beating the pavement every day, saying, I'm butch, I'm butch, I'm butch, and showing that she was butch, and she couldn't get a job or hold a job if they found out. We did get her a job in Macaulay Steel. She dressed a little feminine. They understood a little bit. She's in the wax factory now. She works in the wax factory now in Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And she was more accepted in the wax factory. She lost it in Macaulay Steel. And all the time she worked, it's not because her woman wanted to be out prostituting. It was a way to make a living for them to eat. Because every minute she worked, the girl never went on the street. It wasn't a lust. It was to survive. She never turned a trick, and after she got the job at the wax factory, and they're still together, but they're not here anymore, New York City.
Yeah.
And seeing that it's accepted, the woman is a very bright woman. It stopped a lot of people and the times we're talking about, it stopped a lot of people from education, it stopped a lot of people from just surviving. And even to this day, a lot of gay people, because of that, older gay people, that have jobs, keep their jobs, because they're a harder worker and they feel they gotta prove themselves more than anybody.
Yeah.
See, where I work now, they don't know I'm gay, but I'm sure they really suspect it.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's been a couple remarks to my lover, well, it's yours, you know, by my boss. But if that had happened even 9 years ago, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have had the job.
Uh-huh.
It's very hard to hide what I am because I can hardly hide the male traits that I've had for 24 years. And it's like going in to be, it's like when I was younger and I was going to be a man in a man's world. And I had to break a lot of habits. Not too many, but I had to break a lot of habits. Now coming back into the female life is very hard for me because I am like, it's like 24 or 25 years later. I have certain traits. I have things that I've picked up in habits that I do. I have simple things like crossing my leg wrong. Like I'm always constantly on guard to do the right thing.
Instead of crossing like this way,
yeah.
You press on this way.
Yeah.
Right.
Or like crossing my feet because if I lift my leg, I'll put it.
Okay, I thought Mouse had come and gotten tired of it.
So, I mean, it's completely different for me. I'm not really comfortable with it. I probably, if I had lived a different life, I could never. See, I had come to realization when I was very young. I wasn't, when Barbara and I was together, I was not going to let Barbara press, because we knew about this stuff in support me. And I wasn't going to let, I wasn't going to press at all.
Mm.
So, we had had conversations about, gee, I had been with a boy before, and it wouldn't be too much, you know, we were very young kids. I had been with a man before, and it's not too bad, and this man, I said, no. In fact, we had a couple fist fights over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally got my job, and this is when I didn't even have a pair of shoes to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
The woman down, our landlady, bought me my first pair of shoes and put it on my first shoe. And from that little job, I got up to owning 5 houses, gave 3 to my first lover, and left 2 to 2 other lovers I had. And I've only been with 3 lovers. I used to mess around though between lovers.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're single and
things have changed though. There's an open relationship. There's a lot of things. I'm naive. I'm really naive about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Open relationships I never heard of. Now I have a heterosexual couple coming to me and saying, coming to my lover and mine, myself, say, how would you two like to make love to our wives, these are 2 men, and letting us watch? And I said, you know, because I don't know anything. And I almost died.
Mm-hmm.
And they think just because I'm gay, I'm more into sex or more worldly wise than I am. You know? They don't know I'm a prude.
Well, all the time that you lived as a man on the outside, of course, your lovers knew you were a woman.
Mm-hmm.
At home. And speaking of prudery, I want to ask you some things about sex. And that has to do with, you said that for the most part after that first short affair, that 4 or 5 month affair, your lovers didn't touch you or didn't make love to you. That occasionally Barbara did, that was
yeah.
A 14-year
when
affair.
I wouldn't allow her to. I was so scared. I got ripped very bad inside.
Yeah.
And I was so scared to let anybody touch me that it was a long time till I even let her. And the tension was so bad, it would take away
from the pleasure.
From the pleasure, or her pleasure, too.
Yeah.
So, she was pretty good, and she understood, and it was more gratifying that it wouldn't be no tension.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't explain it. It's a funny way of explaining it. We tried many ways of sex,
mm-hmm.
but I was always afraid to get the touch.
When you made love to your lovers, the ones that didn't touch you, did you feel female? Did you feel male? Did you, do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know how to put this only the way I know how.
Okay.
My biggest turn-on is to have, and this is why I can understand my present lover's feelings. My biggest turn-on is to, it's funny probably for me to say it, but I never seen myself in male clothes when I was home. I could see myself in a mirror. It's not what I'm saying. I never seen myself as a male at all.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest turn on is meeting a beautiful woman and making love to her and have her make love to me, knowing that I'm a woman. It's something beautiful about it. I'm crooked in my head, but this is my biggest turn-on. Because I was not male, and people argue this point with me, because I absolutely knew I wasn't male. I took the male look because it was the easiest way. That was my closet. That was my security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
I got along good in the security blanket, and I made it very well in that mm-hmm. security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
At that day and age when I started, I would have been nowhere to this day, or not experienced the money, the houses, stuff, without taking a lot of more abuse than I had to take, you know, as a male. I was respected by other males. At 25, I had men 40 years old working underneath me that respected me. And it made it easier, life a lot easier.
Sure, I understand why you did that. I guess what I want to know is, when people make love, often they fantasize.
Mm-hmm.
And did you fantasize while you were making love? And did you fantasize yourself male, or did you always fantasize yourself?
No, there was a time when I was with my first lover, Barbara, that there was a need for children. We felt both wanted children. I don't know why, but we both wanted children very badly. And sometimes there would be a fantasy thing there, or it was little fantasies, like pretend I'm a prostitute.
Well, everybody does it.
It's silly. Pretend I'm a prostitute and you're picking me up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through a whole row. Like, pretend I'm a prostitute, you pick me up, you make love to me, and you find out I'm pregnant. And you become my lover. But there was a lot of things we did like this.
Uh-huh.
There was our sex life, no matter how we had sex, no matter what came in our minds, if we discussed it, we decided we wanted to do it this way, to change the monotony of just one way sex, we do it that way. I can't explain. Our sex life never got dull,
mm-hmm.
because we could talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Some affairs have not been like that, that you get. And three affairs I've had have been long term. Not as long as the first one. 14 years for the first one, 6 years for the second one, and 4 years for the third one. And I'm in a new relationship now.
Mm-hmm. This one's been, what, a year or so?
Yeah, a few years in July.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good luck.
It'll make it. It's just that I gotta get my head changed. My head into, I gotta feel relaxed with myself before I can relax with a lover.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then make my, because my lover senses, and I'm sure that anybody that has a lover or a husband, even straight life, they can tell when somebody's upset about something, or I make a mistake at being a certain way, or doing things. Because I'm like used to be with the boys, and I'll say just what I think. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can't do that when you are a female.
Okay. I think that's interesting. Okay, you want to repeat what you just said?
There was a lot of people the last 7, 8 years, or maybe 10, that thought I was a little perverse in the way I was acting and the way I was living.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think it was. I tried to explain to them. They tried to. There were stories made up about me that weren't true.
Mm-hmm.
I ignored them because they're small-minded people. They weren't in my head. They didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And from taking a lot of abuse like that, I never put anybody down for what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to, anything they want to do. What they want to do, and it's their game, and it's the thing they want to do, and I don't put down anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody has the right to.
Who were the people that thought you were perverse?
Oh, some of the gay butches and some of the gay people.
Uh-huh.
I think it, in a way, at the time it first started, I think it was a little bit of jealousy, because one of the people was idolized me. I don't want to pat myself on the back, but tried to form herself right after me.
Uh-huh.
And she started, she got a crew cut, she looked like hell.
I remember.
She didn't make it in the role. In fact, she got a job about the same time, maybe 4 or 5 months after I did,
mm-hmm.
at the Monokai. And she didn't make it, they found out she was a girl. And it always bothered her a little bit because they didn't find out I was a girl.
Mm-hmm.
She never told on me. I don't know if she knows that I would break her too if she had told me. But, things like, oh, you think it's smart to be a man, blah, 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 blah. I used to say, listen, I'm living better. I like living my life. I don't get into yours, stay out of mine. If you don't watch me, stay away from me. And one time, there was a very, very cruel thing said. And I would say it was a lover with children. And my lover did not want her children to know anything. And we were together 6 years. Her children didn't. It was a very cruel thing. So, now that was agreement between my lover and I. And I don't see where outsiders had the right to get, try to get into it. They told the boy that I was gay. That I was a woman. The boy came to me. He really loved me. We went fishing and hunting and went playing baseball and bowling. In fact, I'm the one who taught him to bowl. And Tony said to me, are you a woman? And I said, yeah, well, he was 16, and he cried. And at that minute, that boy hated me. And then I drifted right away from the gay people. Again, I stayed right away from the bars. And I told him, Tony, there's two kinds of life, you know, and I explained everything to him. And he said, well, I loved you like a father. And I said, well, you don't have to love me. Father can love me like a mother. He says, you're different than my mother. You're just like a father should be. Because we did everything together. The boy went camping with me over the weekend. Sometimes it would be just him and I, you know. And he never had a father. I don't think I'd ever make that choice. That was one of my mistakes in my life. I would tell the people I loved.
The people that you were close to.
My children or not. And he was really upset, and I was the one that had to get him out of being upset. And the boy, luckily, after about 6 months, he understood. And then I had to tell the whole family, because I never wanted a kid shot that way again. That was a mistake I made. We all make mistakes in our life. And it was a mistake I made by not telling the child, because they're old enough to understand. And what happened, though, is the boy, we grew closer because I guess him finding out that I was a woman made him think I was weaker than him all of a sudden. All of a sudden I was weaker. So And I was fighting at this time, and like, somebody slapped Tony's face one day, and I went out, and I was in the car, and I was looking for the guy that slapped his face. He had no right slapping his face. The boy didn't do anything. The guy's pretty perverse anyway. And just because one of his sisters told him, told this man in his slum, he's another stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sisters told this man that I was a woman. And Tony, he made an advance. He's supposed to be gay or bisexual, whatever you call it. He's a pig. He can't be classified as anything but a pig. He's not gay. He's not bisexual. He's just a pig. Tried to get Tony to go in his car with him. He said, listen, I'm not gay. And he says, and he started on me. And Tony says, no, I'm not getting in your car. So he really punched Tony in the face. So I went out looking for him, and I got the guy. And had a fight with him, but Tony thought for some reason he had to take his belt off and hit me out of the back while we were fighting. We got closer, but the wrong way.
He was trying to protect you.
No. Yeah. Until this day, he sees me. And he's 22 years old. He sees
me. Like a good
he had trouble with his marriage.
Uh-huh.
He got married. They had a baby. And they lost their first two children. Then they had a baby. And his wife, him and his wife wasn't getting along. Who does he come to? He looks all over the city for me. He comes to me and he says, Bobby, can you do something for me? And I said, yeah, what's the matter? And I asked him if he could, whose fault it was. And he says, well, it might be mine. And I said, well, tell me what happened. And he tells me what happened. I go on, went over the house and I talked to both of them. And they got a better relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And their marriage is still going. They have a baby girl now, and I'm so happy for them.
Oh, that's great.
They named her Barbara,
mm-hmm.
because he never knew my real name.
Yeah.
And he figured Bobby was Barbara.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He named it Barbara, and he said, I named the baby after you, man, too. I don't know how wrong he is, but that's beautiful anyway. The thought is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then my third relationship was with a young boy in the family, one child. The other one had five children. And one child, and I let him know, even before I went with the mother, because this was a stipulation I made, and some people might think I was sick, but I made the stipulation that the boy would have to know or I would not go with him.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and if he doesn't accept me, I'm sorry, no matter how much we care for each other, I can't accept
mm-hmm.
you. And it took a year for the boy to accept me, taking him out here, there, and everywhere, you know. And he accepted me, and then the mother and I went to death.
Great. I think we should probably stop here, because I would imagine that it's your pickup downstairs.